Session number 16726, Mr. H. Bell, Reel 8.
Mr. Bell, Reel 8. Mahabaleshwar, was that a healthier region?
It was a hill station. An Indian Army peacetime hill station. 4,000 feet up, I think it was. About 4,000 feet up. The air was beautiful, and the sun was hot, but the nights were very exceedingly cold. So the order came that we were going to go up there. All men who had malaria twice or more times had to go up there. And I can't remember, I think it was a fortnight, but I'm not sure. And we went up there and we had this terrible treatment. We had... what they call sandwich treatment. It was a glass full of quinine in the morning, a glass of quinine and a plasmogen tablet at lunchtime, and another glass of quinine at night. It didn't make you feel very fit. It was terrible. We weren't allowed to drink. I don't think it was a treatment in itself. But other than that, there were no drills at all. Exercises, but no drills. There was a reservoir up there, and we were allowed to swim in it. I got the shock of my life. As I said before, the sun was very hot through the day, but the reservoir was quite deep. When I dived in, it was like getting scraped with a razor blade. A foot from the surface, it was ice, sheer icy water. The sun never warmed more than a foot of water on the top. So when it was just, as you dived in, it was just like somebody running a razor blade up your body. It was terrible. Another thing was snakes. Crates, which is a deadly snake. You're dead within a few minutes with a crate. And every morning, the roadway will be full of flattened crates. They came out, the tarmac on the road warmed up and it held its heat, and all the snakes came out and laid on the road at night, and the trucks came past and flattened them in the day. We never had a case of snake bite though. We never had one case. As a matter of fact, all during the campaign, I never knew of anybody being bitten by a snake. I talked to a missionary about this. This is digressing a little. And he said, in his experience in snake bites, most snake bites occur just above the ankle. The snake lights it and it strikes and it hits just above the ankle. And he says, you are wearing gaiters. And he says, in my opinion, he says, that's why you haven't. Because I never heard of a case of snake bite. And, you know, India's full of snakes and ants. Yeah, right. So we did this treatment, and it was relaxing. The treatment itself was horrible. I met the MO who was in charge of it. I met him in 1992.
What was his name?
Double Barrelled Dame. A double barrelled name. I can't think of it. I have his picture and I could get his name there, but I can't think of it, never mind. He was there with him all the time. I asked him about this treatment. Utterly useless, he says. Just something we cooked up to make you believe it was going to do you good. And he says, it was a useless treatment. It didn't do you any harm. that's what he told me. He's still alive now. I cannot think of his name. It was a double barrel name, which often crops up.
Where did you go next? Presumably now that you're much fitter and healthier.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yes, back in the job then. We had quite a lot of combined assault training throughout the time in India. We did a spell in Bombay area, which I don't remember much about, excepting that one time I remember we were doing a land. We did it from paddle steamers. We didn't have any boats of our own. We lost them. I'll tell about that later. But we used river steamers. River steamers, which were very, very low in the water, paddle with the rear wheel steamers. They were rear wheel paddle wheels, rear at the stern of the boat. And we used to do it from there. We used to huddle together, crowded up on this. It's amazing how many men these boats take. By the way, these paddle steamers were built in the 19th century. Mostly in the Glasgow area and so on. The engines were anyway. They were ancient and they were beautifully maintained. The brasses were gleaming and so on. And the crew used to make us pots of char at a price. And you could see the oil glistening on the top of the tank. But we used to do I remember doing a landing in the middle of the night, a river landing it was, and we were using an assault craft, and the colonel was at the front, and the assault craft, let's say this was at night, landed on what seemed to be the edge of the river, the banks of the river. And the colonel was one of the first out, and everybody piled out after him into deep water. because it wasn't the bank of the river at all, it was a mud bank. So he was trampled on by dozens of feet, all jumping in the top of him. And he wasn't a very happy man. we did that, we did. I don't know. I think I get a bit confused about all these landings and so on. But we did one, and it was a horror. It was a really first class operation. And we were dressed as we would be if we were in action. We had canvas boots with rubber soles. We had a Mae West on. A Mae West is an inflatable life belt around your armpits. We had respirators. We had grenades. We had extra bandoliers of ammunition. We had a jungle knife. Intention tool. Bayonet. A radio set. What we were doing was disembarking and doing a 13-mile forced march to form a perimeter, which was the reason for assault troops being there, to form a perimeter to make a landing base for following up troops. And the last 5 miles, I was carrying the radio, part of the way anyway. The last 5 miles were up a railway track. And as many people probably know, railway sleepers are terrible things to walk with. They're situated, they're too far apart for one pace, and too close together that you just can't get a pace in, an even pace on railway sleepers. they're terrible things to march on. As a consequence, I think there was about five of our men went to the hospital and never came back again. I staggered the last half mile, and I had just about collapsed when I got there. It was terrible. In the heat of the day, this was the heat of the day in India, with all that equipment on, steel helmet and everything. Rifle, I forgot my rifle, it was like a Christmas tree in July. Like a Christmas tree, and it was terrible. We lost a corporal there, Jimmy, I don't put his name now, Jimmy, but we lost a full corporal there, not a signaler.
What happened to him?
Yes, he was a signaler, yes. We lost him. He just collapsed, exhaustion, and he never came out of the battalion. He was the one. I think it was about five altogether. It was just too much. So that was a sort of assault training we did. That's all. I remember doing quite a few trips on these river steamers, which had a very little freeboard. The deck was only about 6 inches off the water.
And did these steamers take you up to the bank, or did you have to get out into some form of...
Sometimes we had an assault craft. Sometimes they went up the bank. There was stern wheeler, you see, they could. A very, very shallow draft. Very shallow draft. So that was it. It was amazing. It depended on where we were landing, what we used.
Seemed that you were being trained for combined operations, went into jungle fighting in the Arakan, came back out for training in combined operations, then were to find yourself back in the jungle again.
Oh, yes, if I can digress a little bit. We were told, I cannot at this stage think exactly when. We were told, I think the jumping point was going to be from Foul Point to an island just up the coast.
Akiab?
No, Akiab was a town. It was just off Foul Point. Anyway, we were told that we were intended at one stage to be making a landing right down there. But eventually we were told that all our landing craft had gone back to Europe for D-Day. So we lost it all. We never made an actual sea landing at all. One of our platoons did a raid up the coast. I can't remember the name of the place. It's a little village somehow, but they made a raid up the coast with a bad sea captain. The naval launch, this bloke was a red-faced, white-haired, like a film actor captain, dying to get at him. And they went up the coast, they laid up through the day and travelled at night. And they went into this little port with a jetty. And I heard that when they got there, there was a sentry on the jetty, and somebody just shouted some indistinguishable word to him. How's the rope over? Somebody said, how's the rope over? And he did. And then somebody shot him. And they landed there and they ransacked the post office. But I don't think that they got anything of any value. But they did do a landing, and they did ransack the village which was Japanese occupied. But there were no Japanese there. There was nothing.
This during the Akiab? During the Arakan?
It was round about that campaign, yes. I don't remember exactly. It was I heard about it. I didn't take part in it.
Christmas 1943, when you were doing this combined training, do you recall that Christmas and what you were doing? What is Christmas like, or what was it like out in India?
Deadly. Deadly. The canteen rudder, whatever they call them now, I don't know, I can't think of them now, but it was a rally. Was a rally that day. Wazir Ali was the chap who did all the running of the canteen and so on. And at Christmas, he used to put on this Christmas dinner for us, which was none of the show about it. I don't think we got any Christmas pudding, but he did put this on. He could afford to. He must have been a very wealthy man. He did all the supplying to the canteen and so on for the division. Wazir Ali. A lot of jokes about him. Christmas was a boring time. It was Christmas in name only.
Was it getting through to you now that you were the forgotten army? Did you feel that you were forgotten?
The one thought that did occur to me, we weren't doing very well. And I remember thinking, if we did get overrun by the Japs, I would never get back home. And you, I would never get back home. We would be prisoners there and would never get back. I don't understand that. I remember thinking that.
Were there grumbles that England had forgotten you?
No grumbles. No. The spirit of the men was, once we recovered from the Arakan, the spirit picked up and we were all right again. We were good. We were a good battalion. Well officered and a good battalion. Oh, there was no despondency at all. No, not once we got over the fact that when we landed at Chittagong, there was a prison camp there. And we were jeered at as we landed. We nearly went in to wreck that place. But no.
This was a Japanese jeering.
No, it was there were Japanese sympathisers. Japanese sympathisers. We were warned. I think it was the JIFs, they're called, the Japanese Imperial Forces. Am I right? Who were Sikhs? In my book, a Sikh is a treacherous, unreliable soldier. He might be brave, I don't know about that, but he's treacherous. And a lot of them, I think there were two battalions of them formed. When we first went into the Arakan, we were warned about them. They were trying to dress in civilian clothes and try to infiltrate. I heard of one incident where one of them did try to infiltrate, and the Gurkhas were there. And he tried to get past his Kirkuk officer twice. And the third time, the Kirkuk officer didn't stop him. He just whipped his kukri out and whipped his head off.
Were these men of the Indian National Army that had were helping the Japs?
They had gone over. They had gone over to the Japanese side. Don't forget, we weren't liked in India. Don't forget that we occupied India. You know, we weren't liked. It was a peculiar feeling. When you walked down the street, but they were all full of Indians, they parted like butter through a hot knife. They didn't look at you, they parted. They hid, and in my book, the average Indian, and I will accept the hillmen are a different kettle of fish, but in my book, Indians are pretty cowardly. Except when they're in a mob, and then they're dangerous. We did, can I digress a little and say that we did the Gandhi riots in Bombay, 1942, it was, the Gandhi riots. We had a lot then. The ridiculous part was that when we went to stop a mob, We had a member of the Indian government with us. And before you fired a shot, he had to give you written permission. And a pink slip it was. Before you fired a shot, you had to have written permission to fire it. The mob was partly cured by a method, a marvellous method. They wired the electrical part of the wagons, of the trucks. They covered the back of the trucks with chicken mesh wiring. And he got inside, and they shut the door at the back. And then they wired the wire mesh and the body of the truck to the electrics. So every time it fired, the electric shock flying around there. And they used to move forward, and the crowd used to fall back. We were all right inside, didn't we? We weren't earthed, but they were earthed, and as soon as it touched it, they got knocked on their back, you know. It was a very effective method. Very, very effective. The Gandhi riots petered out. We were only there the once, and I don't remember any more after that.
You were there, actually, when a mob was on the move.
Yeah.
What? It must be quite a horrifying, frightening experience.
I've told you, they are frightening. They are frightening. I remember... And I can't tell you when this happened. I can't tell you. I was in Bombay on leave. I can't remember which leave it was. Or if it was a leave. No, I think it was. We had been doing during that assault landing, that sea landing business. Possibly during then. One of our chaps, his brother was in the Navy. And he was ashore. And I went with him to meet his brother. And we had a few drinks. And this Navy lad, I thought sailors could drink, but I want to get me a wog, he says. We were hanging on to him. We were in a square. And it was doorways, and there was little groups of Indians here and there, and he's dying to get one. He was dying to hit an Indian. He was daft, and he did, and he ran to a doorway, and he dragged an Indian out. We tried to stop him, we couldn't, and before we knew where we were surrounded, and we were back to back. Boots and fists, keeping them up. Some police arrived and cleared them. They are nasty once they get roused. They're very nasty. Once there's a lot of them. Bloody daft sailor.
By this time, the beginning of 1944, were you experiencing, or had you experienced any of the stories of Japanese cruelty towards the troops? Were these coming through to you?
No. We hadn't heard anything about the Japanese at all. So...
Did you receive any visits from high-ranking officers and officials?
Yes, we did. We received a visit from Mountbatten. For days beforehand, all that, tallest at the back, shortest at the front, it was January 1944, I'm going to use an army expression here. We had a bullshitting RSM.
Remember his name? A little fella. Remember his name?
No. No. Just as well. You might hear it. His name would probably come out to me afterwards. But anyway, and he had us on there, and he had a So when the great day came, we were all set up, trained in the square, and in a box with a piece of red cloth over it for Louis to come. And they came, and the RSM was resplendent, specially starched shorts. He was magnificent, and he was little. Louis Van Batten's big. And they went up, and when they approached, and Louis Van Batten came down, and he got a smart salute, and he saluted back. And then he looked down at the RSM, and he looked at him, down to his feet, and up again. And then he went up on the box, and he shouted, his usual thing, "Gather round, lads." Yeah? And that was it. He was a... Louis had a personality, in my pattern. Marvellous personality he had. He said, before I start, he said, "No doubt you've heard, I've just had a weekend back home with my wife." He says, "You've seen my wife, do you blame me?" You know, that's the way he went on. He talked man to man, and he was, yes. Yes, so that was the only... We had a visit from Wavell, and I can't remember the date. I can't remember when it was. I know I was on the Guard of Honour. All of us were this. I'm 5'10", and all of us were about 5'10", and we had a prayer at the. It's later on. At the S strip at Imphal was. The S-strip at Imphal, that's what I remember. I might as well go on with it now I've started talking. They were all dressed and spruced up. And we went on this tarmac. And the plane was late, wasn't it? And we stood there in the hot sun. We stood there. And the boots were getting dusty. And there was an orderly there to take care of our equipment. And he took a cloth and he started polishing the toe caps of our boots. And the hot sun had melted all the polish, and all the gleam went off them. So he was retired instantly. And when Wavell came, we had been standing so long, the butts of the rifles had got embedded in the toe as well. So when we did this march shoulder arms, hands got stuck to the boots. All together it was disastrous because of the heat. That's digressing. That was just you said that what personalities had visited, and that's it. That was one of them. Well, they were the only two I ever saw, Wavell and Louis Van Batten.
Did you form an opinion about Wavell, the brief time that you saw him?
Not really. He just walked along. He didn't say hello, Harry, you know. And
were these visits looked forward to, or were there some kind of chore that you had to go through?
In what way?
In preparation and as you say, bullying and so on.
Well, you didn't look forward to them. You didn't look forward to them. You had always an edge in case anything happened, you know.
Did they do anything for morale, the visits?
No. No. No, no, the army thinks that they're mistaken. It doesn't do anything for morale at all. You live your own life and that's it. Your morale's within yourself. Nobody can put it there. It's either there or it isn't. We lost it when came out of the Arakan, but we recovered it, and every once again a good unit. So that was, as I say, that was Louis Van Batten was on the January. And the next trip was we got told we were going on jungle training up to the Belgaume jungle, which is up the coast round about Goa. And so we set off in the truck, and we maintained radio communication all the way up there. And it went perfectly. The radios worked a treat, and February First February we moved up to Belgaum on a convoy by road, and as I say, just as an experiment, we had the sets throughout the convoy, and they did work very, very well indeed. We controlled the convoy all the way.